I can't get none of them.
Didn't get mine right.
Alrighty. I mean, you glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Alright. I don't know any other place I'd rather be at today. I know I wouldn't wanna be in the hospital.
Amen to that.
And the and in jail and prison. One thing I do miss that it's been next year be 10 years,
yeah,
since I had to give that up. Because I had a knee replacement back in 09. And I was going down to the city farm twice a month. I was going on Saturday night and then I was going on Sunday afternoon. And I really hated I had to give that up. And I talked to David Abernathy. And he said, well, you know, how long you gonna have to be at where you can't come back? I said, well, the doctor said, he told me that if everything goes okay and don't have no problem with the therapy or nothing, he said probably within probably about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And I said, I don't know if that's gonna be it or not. I said, but now, I'll say this much. I would rather for you to go on and get somebody that can be there for every service instead of having to call you and check with you and see if you have to, you know, see anything about, you know, maybe I've come back or whatever. I said, I'd rather for you just to go on and get somebody. And he did. Well, I understand he's got a good man, and the individual's going there twice a month, preaching, and he's down there for about an hour. But I'll tell you what, them men down there, that's one, I was kind of hesitant about even going. But praise the Lord, it was somebody that I was going to church with at that time. And he asked me to go with him. And I just told him, I says, Brother Les, I just don't think I could go. Because as soon as I see the doors being shut and I can't get out, I just don't know. I don't think I could go. And he didn't say nothing at the end, but he come back here a couple weeks later and said the same thing. He said, I wish you would go. He says, I promise you, when we get down there, and before they lock us behind that door, I will talk to the guard and I will tell him that you really are hesitant about it. But now, if he gets in there, and if he don't think he can do it, he can't stay. Because of, you know, fear and all that. He says, would you let him out where he can go on and go out in front and sit down in front? Or he can go on home? He says, yeah, I'll look out for him. Praise the Lord, when I got in there, hallelujah, I had about 6 or 8 men sitting on the front row. Had one boy, individual, I mean, he was rough as a cob. And he was back in the back, sitting on the back pew. And I was preaching and everything, and he just started in. He said, I don't want to worry you down here preaching for. He said, because you don't live it. And he said, can't nobody live in that, and I don't believe in God. I have them 5 men who were sitting on the front pew. They stood up and turned around and back to him. Says, if you can't shut up, you need to just go on and leave. Get up and go on out. He said, now, we don't want to hear anything else from you. We here today to hear something positive. And I tell you, them men that done out, they would definitely look after. They look after each other, plus they will look out for the visitors that come. But this morning, I want to go to the book of Acts. And I want to go to chapter 2 in the book of Acts. Now, we know that the Acts, it is a book that really, if you just get in and study it, meditate on it, and everything, it will touch you to the core of your being. There's a whole lot happened here. And the church was established in the book of Acts, but it was after Peter's first message on the day of Pentecost. And the key word there that Peter used was the gospel. The gospel that was given out to the Jews. See, the Gentiles didn't come on the scene at that time. But there was coming all around from every place, every corner of the world, there was coming that day to hear Peter. Preach the greatest message that anyone has ever heard besides the Lord Jesus, which he preached the greatest message because he performed miracles. It's a miracle today that I'm here. It's his miracle, it's the reason I'm saved. Because that was the greatest of all miracles right there, is seeing a lost individual come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. But here at the day of Pentecost, Peter, he was moved in a way by that nobody else had been moved before. And it says in verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. When Pentecost had come, the people as they come around the world to that day, there was individuals that were sitting on mountaintops, in the valley, and all around. But it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Other words, what Peter was talking about right here, the day of Pentecost, is that the people come with unity. They was bound together in unity. And they wasn't seeking nothing, and they weren't thinking about nothing else but what was going to be said that day. Because see, the Jewish people at this time, they had been, we'll go back to the book of Matthew, between the book of Matthew and the book of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament into the Matthew, starting of the New Testament, they went 400 some years without hearing from God, without hearing from anybody. But now, he says, and suddenly there came a sound. A sound from heaven. As a rushing mighty wind. That's the Holy Spirit of God. The mighty rushing wind. Because there was God the Father. God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit. But you know, the Jews needed to know something. They didn't know more than what they've ever been taught before in a synagogue. They needed somebody to teach them the right things and the things to do and the people to believe. That's just like us today. That's just like people today, individuals. They are looking for somebody, I hear, that they can really trust. That they can put their confidence in. And if the individual tells them something, that they will say, I understand. I believe you. That they can have enough confidence in you and what you're saying about the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus, he's there in heaven. He's not here anymore preaching. That's the reason he is called men. That's the reason they call men to preach and to pastor. That's the reason he calls them. It's the only calling besides the other, between that and a deacon, I believe. No other calling in God's Word. And these singers I hear, these group of singers that go out here and go from church to church and got these motorhomes and things like that, and they got all the prestige and got the big name in the headlights, in the headlines and everything. And they'll come up and they'll say, well, when God called me, he called me to sing. He wanted me to sing full time. You should show up to me in God's Word where he's ever called a singer to sing full time. Show me. It's not there. At least I can't find it. But it's a whole lot of individuals out here that's being taught the wrong things. And the reason they're being taught the wrong thing is because the pastor or the preacher is preaching the wrong stuff. They're not preaching God's Word. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some fabulous singers out here. But if you want to find out and what they believe, if they believe that they was called of God to sing full time, then what they'll do, you'll go to, you'll get on the phone and you'll call them. And they say, well, what size church is it? That right there's an indication that they're looking for the money. There's a church down in Hudson, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Hudson Baptist Church. They have about 25 and maybe 30 people that goes around and puts on a skit. And I'm probably some of you have seen it. I looked all over heaven for you. And I'll tell you what, that is something. If it ever comes back around, you need to, if you ain't never been to it, you need to go to it. And I've been thinking very seriously about it, maybe see if we can get them to come down here. And I haven't found the phone number with them yet, but I know what they're going to ask me when I first call them. They're going to ask me, says, you the pastor? I said, yes, sir. Are you saved? Yes, sir. He says, what date are you looking at for us to come? To come on a Saturday night. And he said, now what we like to do, we like to come and we like to start around 5 o'clock. Because we have to drive about 6 hours away from them. Because we're right at the edge of North Carolina and South Carolina. Southeast. Right at the edge. He says, you just tell us a date. And I'll get my wife to look it up and see if we have a date open then. If we don't, we'll call you back and we'll let you know if we got a date or if we don't. I know that's what they'll ask. Because see, I've had them before at another church. And I'll tell you what, they are obligated. And he told the people down at the church that day that he come, me and a few of the men went there in the office. And he says, Pastor, I just want to tell you a little something about us. I said, okay. He said, I went to church. He said, I went to be the pastor of that church at Hudson Baptist Church 23 years ago. And it was some individuals in that church that they had the talent. They had the talent that they could come up with any kind of skit or any kind of program based on God's word. They could do. You could pick out a book or a subject or something, and you could approach them with it. They said, yeah, we can come up with something. But they never did ask for one dime. Never did ask me how many people that we had. Did not ask any of that. He said that they have been in West Virginia. They have been up in Kentucky. Up in the mountains where the coal fields were. And he said, when you get up in the mountains, he said, we got this great big bus that everybody gets on and we can go on that, and we got places on it that holds the equipment and all the stuff that we need. But when you go up that mountain, the people on that bus start praying. But they said they don't know if they can make it up a mountain. He says, and he told me, one place that they went to in West Virginia, up in the coal fields, he said, when they went up in the mountain, on both sides
of the dirt road. It wasn't hard service or nothing. It was a dirt road. Going to this little small country church. The driver, which I think it was the man that was the pastor at that time. I think he was the driver of it. He was going up through there, and he looked over to the left. He couldn't see nothing. He didn't see no trees. The only thing he could see was the top of the trees. Because there was a cliff over to the side. He looked on the right side, hoping maybe he could get a little closer over on the right side. But he looked over on the right side, the same thing. He said it was about a half a mile of going up that dirt road. There wasn't nothing but a drop off on both sides. And he said, when I saw both of them drop offs, I asked the people, I said, I don't know if you've ever prayed before in your life, but you need to pray now. Mm-hmm. I said, because if you don't, we're going to end up at the bottom. One man said, what bottom? Mm-hmm. He said, I ain't going to no bottom. I'm going up. But he said that, you know, he never did. He promised God. He promised God 20 some years before that when he took the church. And after he took the church, some of the individuals in the church come to him and asked him about a skit. Asked him if they could put this program on. And he said, what's the name of it? He said, I looked all over heaven for you. The pastor said, well, we really don't know right now because we don't have no way of getting everybody up out because we don't have no bus or nothing. And we don't have no vans or anything like that. He said, but you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray about it. And if this is what God wants, then God's going to open a way. He said that he started praying, and the people and the men started praying to give them a clear answer. A clear answer and a clear way that they could go and do this. And he promised God before he got through praying. He says, God, if you open the door, I will give you my word and I will give you my promise. I will not put a one dime. I will not ask for one dime. I will not ask for one penny from no church, no individuals. It don't make no difference how small or how large they are. We will not ask. We're doing this for you, Lord, because of so much that you've done for us. And he promised God that. But to be in and out, said, but we got to have a clear pathway. We got to make sure that this is of God. It's not of us, and us using our money to finance anything. But it's of God. He said, there for a week and a half, they pray. They'd meet at your church and they'd pray every night. He said, about a week and a half later, they was at the church praying. When they got through praying,
They was all talking. And everything says, Pastor, what do you think? Do you think the Lord's going to allow us to be able to do it? He said, well, God ain't ever backed down yet. He said, they walked out the front door of the church. When they walked out the front door, there was a 36 passenger van, a bus, or it was almost like a trailway bus. I don't know how many they see, but it wasn't long. And they said, where'd that come from? Which one of y'all drove that up here? And who went out and got the bus? I didn't. I don't even think about no bus. Only thing I was thinking about was I just praying for God to meet with us and send us to do his work. He says God gave them that bus. They used the bus for about a month and a half. The engine blew up in it. It was going to cost right at $10,000, $9,000 something, to get another engine and put in it. Because that engine was so wore out and had a hole in the side of the case. So they says, God, I do not believe that you sent us a piece of junk. I do not believe that. And I know that, Lord, that you're going to provide the way for us to be able to use that bus the next time we get an appointment. And he says, it ain't but 3 weeks away. And he says, and I do not want to call them and cancel it and tell them that we cannot come because of the bus. The engine had blew up. He said, in there in the town was a man, he said he's probably about in his 60s. But he always worked on equipment. Cars, trucks, buses, and everything. And the individual called the pastor, and says, Pastor, understand that you're looking for an engine for your bus. He said, yes, sir, but we just, you know, we found some, but we just ain't got that kind of money right now to spend on it. And it looks like we're going to have to cancel our next meeting. The mechanic, he told him, he says, where's the bus at, man? He says, down here at the church. We had it hauled. A rucker brought it here to church and let it down. We don't have no way at all of getting it to you or nothing. Because it's going to cost them about $150, $175 for a tow truck just to come and tow it in. He said, that's okay. You tell me where you're at. He went down to where he was at. He come with his own tow truck. It's like one of them big tow trucks. Looks like it got about 20-some tires on wheels on it or something. But he come, he looked at it, and he said, yeah. He said, you need an engine in it. He says, yes, and I do have the right engine that goes in it. The pastor says, well, how much you want for? He says, did I say anything about a price? He says, no. He said, just let me get it back up at my shop. And I'll see what I can do. That weekend, the bus had the new engine in it. The pastor, they went up there, and he told the mechanic told him, says, your bus is ready. You can take it on back with you, and you don't have to cancel no meetings or nothing. Pastor of the church says, now, what are you talking about now? Now, you know, I told you we did not have the money to pay for it. He said, did I ask for any money? He said, no. He says, I'm not going to ask for any money. Because this is what the Lord wants me to do. Because his son, Jesus Christ, went to Calvary so many years ago. And he saved my soul 32 years ago. And said, I cannot repay him. I can't come up with enough money. I cannot come up with enough gifts to give him to repay him. But I can do some little things like this. Here it was, somebody giving him a bus. Somebody give him the engine and the labor to go along with it. Now, to me, why would I want to trust anybody else? And he told me this, and I'm gonna stop with this right now. But he told me, he says, Pastor, he says, we ended up with more money when we was faithful to God than we ever have been for in our life. And he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, well, yes, we've been to some churches, didn't have but three or four in it when we got there. But then they had some others to come in, but it was a small congregation. He says, and we've been in some churches, had 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people in them. Through the same skit. And he said, I want to let you know something. The smallest church that we've ever go to, they end up giving more money. They end up giving us more love offering than the larger churches. And I believe that's what the day of Pentecost really means. That we must look to God for everything. And like I said in verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. A sound from heaven. The sound did not come with the people as the people was marching to where they was all at. No, and it wasn't the sound that of Peter when he was preaching at Pentecost. But the sound of rushing wind, which you know the symbol of wind in God's word speaks of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That came from heaven, a rushing, mighty wind from heaven to come down and touch Peter and touch the others. Peter wasn't the only one that was preaching. Even though Peter knew he could do it with God, that he could preach all the different languages that God wanted him to preach. But see, they had their own individual priest or pastor or whatever to come and to speak to them in their language. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave the utterance. Speak in cloven tongues. You know what that means? It means this. Of all the people that was there, there were some people could not understand Peter in his language. They couldn't understand the other group in their language. So God allowed the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, either one, allowed the Holy Ghost to go and to speak to someone that was in their group that could only speak their language. Now the cloven tongues, that come from heaven, that come from God. God allowed them to speak in their language. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this multitude, or when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Emalites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and of Judea and all these other I can't pronounce the words. But it says, and they were all amazed. They was amazed at what they was learning. They was amazed in what was being preached. They was amazed in what thy ears heard. And yes, and they was not thinking about how far it was going to get them to go back home. They wasn't thinking about any of that. They wasn't thinking about all that. They came And they came for one reason only, and that's to hear something from God. Now, you know, the Jewish people, even today, some of them, I mean, you got some Jewish people out here, some of them are saved, and they'll tell you that they're saved. But a whole lot of them will say, nope, he hasn't come back the first time. He's been back the first time. He's been back the second time to me. Because now he lives in my heart. And he's going to come again. The next time he's going to come, he's not coming to this earth. He's coming to that one cloud that God the Father's got picked out for him. And that cloud is going to be where he's going to stand. And I believe this is when the Bible speaks of the footstool and Satan. I believe God has that particular cloud picked out for his son, Jesus. That his son, Jesus, will stand there where on the cloud which represents God the Father. But not only that, he stands there with all of his might and of all of his power. He's standing on a cloud that's pushing the devil down, putting him down. He definitely needs to be put down. He needs to be put down. He needs to be kicked in the rear. He needs to be kicked down. He needs to be stabbed. He needs to be shot. He needs all of the everything the enemies out here doing to the other people, to the innocent people, they need to do the same thing to Satan because of what he's doing for them. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meanest this? What meaneth this? What that meant was the Savior had come on the scene. And I think it's in chapter 3, maybe chapter 4, I believe it is. But after this, it's when the church was established. And after all of this, that's when the deacon's role come into place. Because see, it was over 5,000, could have been 6, could have been 7,000, 8,000 with the mothers and the sons and everyone thing. Could have been that many individuals that was gathered that day. So you just let's say 5,000 people.
What did he pick out? He picked out 7 men.
7 men filled
with the Holy Ghost to do his work.
7 men among 5,000 to look after them. To look after their needs. And you know, if God could just pick out 7 to look after 5,000 need, I think the Lord can sure look after our needs. There are churches out here today that don't have a 25 or 30 people in them, and they got 7 deacons. They may have 4 men. They'll have three ladies. It's not right. It's not right. Just because you don't have seven deacons does not mean that you just ask anybody to be a deacon. You've got to be filled. And you've got to know who you're serving. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. And Father, we do thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for Peter. We thank you, Father, for the church. We thank you, Father, for the deacons that you've chosen. And the Father, the deacons that you have chosen here on earth. Lord, yes, maybe some deacons has been chosen, but they really should not have been chosen. But I don't. That is not my individual business, Father. That's your business. Now, Father, we pray that you go with us this afternoon. Give us the rest that we need. Be with us and help us, Father, that we can share your precious word with somebody. Never be ashamed of calling your name out. Never be ashamed of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.